You're listening to Bit by Bit, March 20th, 2006. Hello and welcome. My name is Bob Sprankle and this is Bit by Bit, a podcast by teachers for teachers talking and reflecting about the use of technology in instruction and the changing classroom environment in the 21st century. The great thing about podcasts is the conversation that is happening out there, and I've said it before, and in this episode, I'm going to respond to the engaging discussion that took place over at Wes Fryer's site on his international group that is now going by the name of Over the Pond and Through the Fiber. It's a conversation by Miguel Gulen, Mark Alness, Ewan McIntosh, Darren Corrupt Patois, I'm sure I said that wrong, and Jeff Allen, and they're using David Wehrlich's call for telling a new story as a jumping board for this conversation, as well as a question put forth by Gulen about technology being a distractor. So you probably want to head over to Wes's site at speedofcreativity.org and listen to podcast number 40 first to know what I'm talking about, I guess, and then read or listen to David Wehrlich's response. He blogged it and he also podcasted it, and I'll put a link to both in the show notes. So having listened to the podcast by Wes and company twice and reading David's response, I feel that I'm starting to be ready to put some thoughts to the blogosphere and join in the conversation. First off, what an engaging and wonderful podcast from the Over the Pond and Through the Fiber crew. I know this because as I listened to it driving down the highway, I couldn't help but get in the conversation by speaking directly to my iPod, sometimes a bit loudly. So thanks to all who kept me thinking long and deep all weekend. Miguel Gulen begins the conversation with the following, and this is taken from his pre-Skype notes off his blog. He says, David Wehrlich talks about telling a new story. I'd like to see us more clearly define it. Is this new future just an amalgamation of new untried solutions, examples, digital storytelling, blogging, podcasting, wikis, etc.? How do these fundamentally transform teaching, learning, and leadership, aside from serving as a big distraction? So in this podcast, I'm going to center on the distraction thing, and David has responded to the new story and I think has helped define that more for people. But whether these new approaches are untried and untested is irrelevant to me. The critical masses do not need to give approval for any of us to try out new approaches in the classroom. In fact, isn't education constantly reinventing itself? Sometimes slowly for sure, sometimes going back to what was done in the past, sometimes forced like No Child Left Behind, sometimes experimental and revolutionary. And when these changes bring success, then they're shared through workshops, from teacher to teacher, books, etc. Usually they're met with resistance, but also accepted by those who remain committed to staying open to possibilities, to the belief that we have not hit upon the perfect learning solution yet and may never. Add to this the fact that our clients, students and parents, are ever-changing, their needs evolving as a result of societal changes, along with the ever-increasing amount of knowledge and information, the unpredictableness of the future, and a myriad of other shifting winds, and you'd be a fool to ever root yourself in tradition or put all your bets on one single methodology. So change is inevitable. At present, some of the discussion is beginning to focus on Web 2.0. The question that has been asked is that if not all teachers are talking about it or accepting it, then doesn't it serve as a distraction to what is proven, that which is tested and tried? I guess my first question is, distraction from what? From an enterprise that is, by its very nature, full of distractions? And I don't just mean the obvious daily obstacle course that each teacher and student runs every day at school. But aren't we constantly being pulled into a million or billion different directions as we try to meet the needs of the whole child, times 20 or more children in the class? Aren't we constantly being distracted by new mandates, expectations, requirements, methods, knowledge, etc.? Clearly, that which is identified as tested and tried can't be rock solid, or districts wouldn't keep pouring oodles of money into workshops and staff development. Also, much of this constant retooling is self-induced. Teachers encourage students to be lifelong learners by practicing the same, which is one of the reasons why we teach. We love to learn. If, in fact, it is a distraction, is distraction bad? Surely, if we're on the wrong path, it's good to get distracted at times. Maybe we'll pull off the road to examine the distraction and learn something we didn't expect. The irony here is that the so-called distraction is not really what the buzz is all about. People are seeing the technology as what Web 2.0 is all about, when it's just the tool. You know, I'm kind of getting tired of the term Web 2.0. Perhaps we should start calling it Communication 2.0, because that's what it's really all about. We have evolved because of the tools that are now at our fingertips. We are able to learn and share information in ways that were never before possible. These tools are now making it possible for the conversation that has been going on for ages to finally take hold. For instance, because of the power of these tools, teachers are now able to collaborate with ease, receive support from a global community, grow professionally, and discuss ways to conduct best practice with a dramatic unchaining of what kept us unsuccessful in the past. We have blown off the walls of our classrooms and put an end to the isolationism that has probably been more pronounced in our field than in most other professions. A teacher no longer needs the support of colleagues within his or her own school to enter into discussion or change. The sad truth is that in my own busy day at school, I hardly ever have time to meet with members of my own team. But thanks to blogging, there isn't a day that goes by without a blog or podcast to keep me examining my practice, many of these coming from people that I have yet to meet face to face. I have been able to receive more professional development listening to my iPod in my car in the past year than in the 9 years of teaching. Though these podcasts cannot entirely replace workshops or coursework, I am amazed at the quality of the instructions I've received, much of what has rivaled many of the workshops that I've been to. After traveling to some of these clunker workshops, I've regretted the money that was spent, the cost of the substitute, and the day missed in the classroom. When you're offered with a plethora of the outstanding blogs and podcasts, one has the freedom to tailor the learning to one's own needs. And if you hit a clunker with a podcast, you can always skip to the next track on your iPod. When I worked with SEED, which stands for Spreading Educator to Educator Development, and I'll put a link in the show notes, and we trained teachers in the MLTI One-to-One Laptop Initiative, right out of the gate, we understood that it wasn't about the technology. It was about having an opportunity, because of the technology, to change practice. Sure, the first day of the training was all about how to open the laptops, turn them on, find your way around the desktop. But by the second day, we talked about integration of curriculum, differentiated instruction, authentic activities, authentic assessments, ways students could take control of their own learning. And the teachers at the workshops came along for the ride with us. They moved away from the technology being the focus to work on the higher calling. These were teachers who were asked to take 2 unpaid days in the summer to engage in this work across the state. It would have been easy to be distracted by the technology, but I assure you, in every workshop I was a part of, the participants moved past that and embraced the real meaning of the laptop initiative, that we were going to change instruction. That was the real purpose. The laptops were only the tool. When I decided to create my own blog and then later the podcast for my classroom, it was not motivated by the technology. It was motivated by the desire to better serve the kids and their parents. I took a chance that students would be motivated to write for a larger audience, and for the most important audience, their parents. The gamble paid off. If at any point this changes, my students no longer want to do it, it no longer motivates them to write, parents no longer need this home-school connection, then I will stop doing it. I will move on to something else, not a distraction, but some other tool that will serve us as well as this one has. The new tool will do what the old tool did: help students create a purpose to their learning, allow for reflection and assessment of learning, build community, and continue conversation. The thing is, blogs, podcasts, and other Web 2.0 tools are far from being a distraction. They are completely relevant because, like it or not, our world is becoming more technological, and this is a part of a global evolution in the way we communicate, work, and build relationships. So not only are we able to use this technology as a tool to improve and examine instruction, but at the same time, we are providing the opportunity for our students to learn the essential skills that they will need in the 21st century. Web 2.0 is coming, is here, is changing the world whether we like it or not. It is a megaphone, a vehicle for networking like never before, a path to empowerment. I understand the argument that many teachers are put off by the term Web 2.0, by the technical jargon, by adding one more thing to the already overflowing proverbial plate. We could treat it as a distraction and stop talking about it, not encourage our colleagues to start their own blog, to listen to a podcast, completely ignore the whole thing. But it's still coming, like it or not. Hopefully by this weekend, we'll have another seedling show up, and I will try to get another Bit by Bit out to you soon. For Bit by Bit, I'm Bob Sprankle at bobsprankle.com. Thanks for listening, and thanks for the conversation.